Well, today's the last meeting.
Oh, really?
The conference with only three meetings, goodness. I don't think we can go to Leviticus because how many chapters? Yeah. I don't think we can make it. So, but it's good enough that we cover Malachi and also tonight Ezekiel. Why is it important? Because Malachi, sorry, is the last book of the Old Testament scriptures. And what is it talking about? The priesthood. Can you imagine the last book of the Bible in the Old Covenant scriptures? It's talking about a priesthood. And was it very positive or was it very negative? Unfortunately, very negative. Why? Because God's people have forsaken the matter of the priesthood. And the priesthood are not doing what they should be doing. In fact, in chapter 1, the Lord rebukes them. You're supposed to bring me the best, even the best of the best. So what did they bring? What did they bring to the Lord?
The lame, the blind.
The lame, the blind, the sick animals, a sacrifice to God. And what did the Lord tell them? If I am God, and if I'm truly your father, right? I'm the father. They call him father. And we pray to God our father, don't we? Then where is my honor? Where is the fear of God, the godly fear? Right? So it's important for us to see Malachi. It's not a long chapter. But you have to realize that even in Malachi, the Lord already mentioned the important points concerning the priesthood. Actually, the positive point concerning God's covenant with Levi is just a very short summary of Leviticus. If you have eyes to see, and if the Lord enlighten us, you will see that it is actually a summary of what a priest should be and should do. Chapter 1 talk about the offerings. You know, today we are practicing bringing offerings to God our Father. But have you realized? Don't just bring anything, but bring the best to God our Father. Because the offering is for the satisfaction of God. It's not just to bring something to God. And it is at a time of worship. And we say we are coming to celebrate the Lord's table, keeping the feast of the Lord. And God's command to his people when they enter into the good land. First point in Deuteronomy, he told them how to worship. Don't worship like the heathen, like the nations in the land. First of all, everybody has their own choice how to worship. God told them you shouldn't do that. No. You know, everybody has the choice. Good Christian, you have a lot of choices. Which one do you choose? How many choices do we have here in Fountain Valley? Sarah, how many do you think? We can't even count them, right? Because there are too many. I only have 10 fingers. One, two, three, four, and 9, 10. Well, there are more than my 10 fingers. Not just twice. 100 times. So many places of worship. You think this is scriptural? I'm not here to criticize them, but I'm here to tell you that is not God's way. That is not God's way. If you want to worship God, you have to worship God's way. And so you have to come to Jerusalem. You may ask, where is Jerusalem? I cannot tell you. If you don't know, you don't know. But if you know, you know. It's not an earthly Jerusalem. What did Hebrews chapter 12 says? It is a heavenly Jerusalem. Where is it? I can't tell you. It's very difficult to explain to people that you are in the heavenly Jerusalem. Right, Vince, where are you? Where are you tonight?
The heavenly Jerusalem.
I thought you were in Fountain Valley. Are we here or are we up there? It is in the spirit. If you're not in spirit, you're not in Jerusalem. You're not even in earthly Jerusalem. If you want to go to the earthly Jerusalem, well, you know where, how to go there. You have to fly there. But how do you go to the heavenly Jerusalem? Tell me. You have to be in spirit. So many times when you come to the meeting, even tonight, did you come in your spirit? Or you just say, oh, there's a meeting tonight, oh, so let's go. You jump into your car and come here. To where? The car will take you to the heavenly Jerusalem? I don't think so. You have to be in spirit. The true worshiper, the Lord said very clearly, the time has come that a real worshiper must worship God firstly in spirit. Don't worship God at home. Some people even think they're worshiping God on Sunday through television and listening to a great famous speaker. And they think that's worship. And even they're still in their pajamas. Is that worship? You think God will accept that? No, you have to be in spirit. Two things, the Lord says, in spirit and with the reality, the substance of Christ. This is what Deuteronomy chapter 12 tells us. You have to come with the first fruits, the firstborn of all the cattles, the best of the first fruits. You have to bring it to me. So, the first point in coming together to worship is to satisfy God our Father. Remember that. The offering is not to satisfy you. People usually ask me, and quite a few people ask me, what is the difference between giving a testimony or sharing something to one another and giving an offering to God? Bringing an offering is not for the saints. Right. We are not just practicing 1 Corinthians chapter 14 for the edification of the saints. Right? Some brought a teaching, some a word of wisdom, some a revelation. But all those are for the edification of the saints. To encourage one another. Does God need your encouragement? Timo, when you prepare a message, is it for God to hear your message? No.
He doesn't.
He doesn't need edification. Is your message for God, telling God how to understand his word, how to interpret the Bible? Is for the edification of the saints, to help the saints. So when we come together to worship God, that means whatever we do must satisfy God our Father. It is firstly to satisfy our God and Father. And in Malachi chapter 1, God was not happy. Why? Because they didn't bring, or they forgot to bring? They didn't bring the best. So God spoke in a human way to them. Bring all these gifts to the governor and see if the governor would be happy with you. Well, don't just bring it to the governor. Let's bring those things to Sam. The food that we kept in the fridge for 3 weeks and just warm it up and invite Sam. How about it, Sam? Not just disappointed, you'll be offended. You think God will not be offended? Well, God was offended. He was angry. What did he say? Better close shop, lock the lock the door. You think if you open up a restaurant like that, you're going to have a lot of customers coming? If you go to a restaurant, Sharon, that offers up terrible food, are you going to go there every week? You said never. You're right. You will never enter that place again, right? Same thing with God. So we need to realize what we are doing today as priests to satisfy God. To satisfy God. So this is the main thing. Even when you give a message, it has to satisfy God because you're representing God to speak to his people. Look at all the prophets in the Old Testament days. They never spoke their own words. Never. If they did, then they are false prophets. They spoke the truth, and this is why it says the truth must be in their mouth. So, whenever we open our mouth to speak, it has to be the truth in the Word of God. And then it has to be the Lord speaking. Don't just give a message. You're a messenger. A messenger never has his own message. Otherwise, you're not a messenger. You're a speaker, you're not a messenger. So, whenever in the meetings and in the fellowship, when you speak, then you have to ask who is speaking. And not only you, the speaker, ask that, the saints have to ask who is speaking. This is why Paul told the Corinthians, you want to have an evidence of who is speaking. Well, you all better have a spirit of discernment and not just to listen anything and every message. You have to discern who is speaking. And Paul says, you have to discern it is Christ in me speaking. That's what Paul says. If it is just Paul speaking, you can forget it. We can go home. We don't even have to come. It's so amazing that when the apostles wrote the epistles, we read it as from Peter, from James, from Jude. From whom? The Word of God. If we don't do that, then we are false prophets. We don't know the burden of the Lord. We just give a message. And this is why Paul says, then the saints have itching ears. What does he mean, itching ears? You just like to listen what you like to listen, just like when you're listening to music. You know, this generation, they're not listening to music. They love noise. It depends on your taste when you listen to music. But we shouldn't be like that. We should not be like that. Now, we have heard much about Malachi. Now let's go to Ezekiel. Especially in Ezekiel chapter 44, beginning in. Oh, my watch. I forgot my watch. What time is it? Okay, Sarah, may I have your watch? Thank you. Yeah. Good. Yep. I need to have a watch here. Yeah. In Ezekiel chapter 44, let me go to Ezekiel 44 here. Why is Ezekiel 44 very important? Because it's not talking about their time when Ezekiel was a prophet then. Ezekiel was prophesying concerning the millennial kingdom. When the Lord comes back, what's going to take place? What kind of a temple is he going to build? So when the Lord comes back, he's going to build not the so-called third temple, but it's going to be a completely different temple. And this temple is described in a very wonderful, special way in Ezekiel. Yeah. But, of course, I'm not going to talk about that tonight. But you have to go back to the conference that we have held years ago concerning Ezekiel. Some brother in Germany even made a model. You have that model. That's good. Well, praise the Lord. Don't worry about it now. No, don't have to show it. Because we're not going to talk about that temple. We're going to talk about a priesthood. And it is very important because chapter 44, before the temple is built, the most important thing for God is the ones who serve there in the temple. So let's go to verse 5. Let's all turn to Ezekiel 44. I think we will just follow the word. It is important here, just to follow the word. And the Lord said to me, Son of man, mark well. Remember, mark well. He told Ezekiel to mark well. Don't miss anything. Right? Mark well and see with your eyes. Of course, you have to see with your eyes. Don't be distracted. What did you come to see, right? Don't be distracted. See with your eyes and hear with your ears all that I say to you concerning all the ordinances of the house of the Lord and all its laws. Mark well who may enter the house and all who go out from the sanctuary. Mark well. How do you feel, Vince, when you read this verse? Sharon says, oh, how well do you consider the Word of God when you come to read? You just read through it and you don't care whether you truly understood what you have read. And after you read it, you forgot about it. Is that the way you deal with the Word of God? If that is the way we deal with the Word of God, then we are through with His plan and purpose. No wonder there's so much confusion among us Christians today. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't agree with this. I don't agree with your understanding of this verse. I have my own understanding. In a sense, so what if you have your own understanding? You're not even practicing what you understood. Even if you understood wrongly, you didn't even practice it. What is the use of understanding if you're not practicing? But even if you understood correctly, the next question is, did you pay attention to carry it out? How many years now have we been talking about the priesthood? Sam, 10 years. You may ask me, don't you have anything else to share? Is that all you know? Don't you realize every time we share more about it, we see more. We apprehend more. And we appreciate more the matter of the priesthood. And we're still learning. We're perfecting it. We're perfecting it. Because there's so many things to learn. Don't think it is easy. No, okay. So that verse is important. Right? We need to know all the ordinances, all its laws. And everything concerning the priesthood, we need to know. And not just know in a general way, you have to know in a very precise way. even in your office, Sam, can somebody be an optometrist just knowing a little bit in a general way? Are going to hire him? How about hiring me? I'm a good friend of yours. I need a job. Hire me. But I'm your friend. Not good enough. You're not my friend anymore. It's not a matter of being friendly or not. It's not a matter of whether you like me and I like you. It is more than that. Right? Now say to the rebellious, to the house of Israel, goodness, they were rebellious, not to pay attention to the word of God and practice it accordingly, you are rebellious. You want to be rebellious? I don't want. I'm scared to be rebellious against God. You scared me to death. Yeah. So at this time, God says, let us have no more of all your abominations. Everybody is doing what they like and worship in their own ways. You know, if you worship in your own ways, what are you worshiping? What kind of God are you worshiping? What is your concept about God? A God that just accepts all the junk? You do what you like to worship God? I heard some people say, oh, I can bring an offering anytime. Even if I'm taking a shower, I can bring an offering to God. What? Are you kidding me? Even when I'm driving, I can bring an offering to God? Where is it written? God says, only to the place where I chose for my name to dwell there. Not anywhere. You cannot eat the offerings at home, not in your garden, not right there in the field. But you have to bring to the place where the Lord God has chosen for his name, for him. So, but people say, oh, I can do it anywhere. That's in the Old Testament. Now we're in the New Testament, so I can just worship God anywhere, huh? This is people's concept. You think there's a big difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant? You're wrong. There's no difference. Except the Old Covenants are type, teaching us what to do when the New Covenant comes. You think Christ is very different than the one prophesied by the prophets? No. No, he's the reality. Behold the Lamb of God. Oh, why the Lamb of God? You think the Lord Jesus Christ is a lamb? He's the reality of the lamb. I'm the manna. I'm the bread that came down from heaven. The true bread. And then he talked about the manna. He talked about the water of life, the water that flows out from the rock. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, what did Paul say? That rock was Christ. So, is there any difference between the Old Covenant scriptures and the Holy Scriptures? How come the New Testament is so thin and the Old Testament is so thick? Give me an explanation. Because everything is already written in the Holy Scriptures in the Old Testament. You're just too lazy to read that. You think I don't need that anymore? Do you still need the tree of life? Oh, yeah. You sure? Forget about your concept. The whole scripture is the word of God. This is why in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Paul says, all scriptures is the breath of God.
Amen.
All scriptures? What does it mean? At the time of Paul, do they have a New Testament like what we have today?
No.
So which scriptures was he talking about? Genesis to Malachi. So which one is important? Every one is important. Everyone. You think we are in the Old Testament because we are in Ezekiel? No, we're not in the Old Testament. It is very up to date. It's very, very up to date. Okay. I'm sorry. Our time is so short. What can I do? Right. Now, let us jump. Of course, the first part here after that, the Lord says, the common people, right? They cannot come near, okay? But then he comes to the priest. Yeah. Now, he said, let us continue. Yeah. Concerning the Levites. Firstly, in verse 9, he says, no foreigners, no uncircumcised people can enter my sanctuary. Right? Including any foreigner who is among the children of Israel. Okay? If you're a foreigner, no illegals. We are not like the present government that opens up to all the illegals. Even the criminals can come in. You think the Lord will allow criminals to come in? Okay, let's not talk about criminals. What about a foreigner? Who is a proper person? A foreigner is a foreigner. Are you a foreigner in Zion? We don't have an open border, okay? All of you in QC? Only those who are called by the Lord.
Amen.
Unless you're born again, you cannot even see, let alone enter into the kingdom of the heavens. Does it mean it's open border for everybody? You, okay, maybe, okay, born again. No, unless you are born again. Show me your papers. Your birth certificate. Not a fake one, okay? You know who had a fake birth certificate, you know. Here in the heavenly kingdom, there is no fake anything. It must be genuine. Yep. But now I come to the Levites and the priest. Meaning to say, Ezekiel, now talk about it according to God's word. Don't think all the Levites in the millennial kingdom will be accepted. They will be, but not according to how you think they will be accepted. Now, here's very important for all of us. Okay, please pay attention. The Levites who went far from me when Israel went astray. And this Levite strayed away from me after their idols, following the people, and even serving those who went astray. You have to read the Bible to know that, okay? Read Kings and Chronicles. And consider, for example, Eli and his two sons. You like to be like that? Oh, my father is a great high priest. You better listen to me. You know my dad? Don't you know my father? The great high priest, Eli, the high priest, not a great high priest, I'm sorry, the high priest. There's only one great high priest. The high priest. My goodness, the two sons. They're supposed to be priests. But what kind? It's a shame. It was a shame. That is why during Eli's time, the glory of God left Israel. So one of his daughter-in-law bore a child, and they gave his name, the child's name, what?
Ichabod.
Ichabod. What does it mean?
The glory has departed.
The glory departed. Oh, but you said, well, we are priests. The glory of God will not depart. Who says? It depends on what kind of priest you're practicing. You are. Right? Okay, who strayed away from me after their idols, they shall bear their iniquity. This is talking about the millennial kingdom now, when the Lord comes back. Yet, because they are Levites, yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary. But as what? Gatekeepers. Okay. Just stand at the door outside, okay, in the outer court. Be a gatekeeper. You want to be a gatekeeper? Okay, it's better than being outside, right? Okay, you're a gatekeeper. And ministers, servants of the house, they shall slay the offerings. That means to help people when they come to bring an offering. There's a before they were brought to the altar, it was slayed outside of the table. You want to be a butcher? Charlie, do you want to be a butcher? So this Levite will be the butcher to help the saints when they brought a big what? Huh? Cow, a big bull. You think it's easy to butcher a big bull? And they didn't bring a dead one, okay? It was a live one, not a sick one, but a strong one. Okay? So they shall slay the burnt offering and sacrifice for the people, not for God, because that butchering is at a table outside. Okay? Well, if that's good enough for you, that's fine, if you like to do that job. Yeah. And they shall stand before them to help them, to serve the people there. Why? The Lord said it in a I wouldn't say sarcastic way, but in a way to punish them, to show them why they are doing that. Because you, all these Levites, because they ministers to them, the one who went astray to serve idols, and these Levites went with them and served them who are serving the idols. You want to do that? Right. You have to read the whole scriptures in order to find out, right? Yeah. Because they ministered to them before their idols and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. So remember all those people who are serving God in their own way. Are they serving God in a mega churches? You need four jets to serve God, huh? You need to have a beautiful, wonderful meeting place in cathedral, like that glass crystal cathedral to serve God. Who are you serving? And caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore, I have raised my hand in an oath against them. My God even made an oath. They shall bear their iniquity. They shall not come near to me. And this is the most important privilege of the priest. But you can say, I heard a lot of people saying, I can pray. I can pray anywhere. Yes, of course you can pray. You can pray in the outer court. You can pray anywhere. But where is the golden incense altar? Anywhere and everywhere? You have the golden incense in your shower? You're kidding me? In your car, you have a small golden incense that becomes an idol. A mini golden incense altar. Forgive me for making it so strange. It is strange. Not only strange, it is evil, it's wickedness, abomination. But that's what people think. I can worship anywhere I like, anytime I like, and anything I like. Right. So, but they shall bear their shame. The Lord even made an oath. Yep. Nevertheless, the Lord is still merciful. I will make them to keep charge of the temple, clean the floor, all this work, right? Clean this and clean the tables, right? A cleaning service. How about that? For all that has to be done in the temple, wow, including cooking, cleaning, doorkeeping, butchering. Any of you want to volunteer in QC? But you can see the Lord is exposing what will happen when he comes back. Not only during the time with the people of Israel, with the earthly priesthood, but also in principle with the heavenly priesthood, with the spiritual priesthood. Now, but in verse 15, but the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, Zadok, Can anyone tell me the meaning of the name Sadok? You see, none of you look up what is the meaning of the word Zadok. Charlie, what is the meaning? Do you want to be like Zadok? Do you, Sarah? Okay, then who is Zadok? Zadok means the righteous one. Is righteous. Righteous because God is righteous. How can we serve the righteous God if we are not unrighteous? And this is what the Levites, those Levites, were doing unrighteous things. Things that are not right with God. To be righteous is not according to your own eyes. Paul says, I don't want to be found in my own righteousness. How many times we thought we are right, but we are really wrong. Not only wrong, but unrighteous. Zadok, remember that name. Sarah. What is the meaning now?
Righteous one.
The righteous one. Righteousness. Who is our righteousness today? Christ, our righteousness. Yes. Anything you do without Christ is not righteous, to say the least. So much to be said. Okay. So the sons of Zadok, that means the descendants of Zadok, who kept my church and my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray, but they were the ones who stayed there. Even at the time of David. A lot of people went astray. But Zadok remained faithful. To be faithful to God is very, very important. Our Lord Jesus in Revelation chapter 1 is the witness. Is it called? He's the witness. No?
The faithful with
Is the word faithful very important? Just be a witness. Are you a witness? Are you a witness? Everybody says, yeah, I'm a witness. But are you a faithful witness? Now, what is the difference between just a witness and a faithful witness? Think about it when you go home, okay? You can dream about it. But our Lord is a faithful witness. In spite of all the challenges, in spite of all the difficulties, in spite of all the problems, when everybody was against it, he was faithful to God. He was not afraid. It didn't move him. Even if he knew he was going to be crucified. If you know that in Jerusalem, if you go there, they're going to eliminate you, are you going to go? Would you take your wife with you? Will you go with him, knowing that you're going to be eliminated in Jerusalem? But if you are a very, very, very faithful wife, then you will go with Timo to Jerusalem. Peter says, no, Lord, don't go. But Zadok is very faithful. even when everything went wrong. When the whole trend is going that direction, Zadok the priest remained faithful to God. Even if they kick you out, that's fine. As long as the Lord doesn't kick you out, that's good enough for me, right? Do you prefer that they keep you, but the Lord kicked you? What would you prefer? Yep. Praise the Lord. Right. They shall come near to me. They shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood. The fat is actually the best. Not good for us. Leviticus, it says fat is not good for us. We cannot take it. Right? Do you like to eat just fat? Your diet? Oh, yeah. Well, every day, all the time, just eating fat now. Okay. You know, it's the fat that releases the fragrance of the food, right? Can you imagine steak without fat?
Dry.
Dry, and it's not edible. Oh, of course it is, but. The fat is the best food for God. The fat belongs to me. And it was burned, offered to God as a sweet aroma. And the blood, praise the Lord, the blood must be brought to the Holy of Holies. Unfortunately, in the Day of Atonement, only once a year during that time, right? But hey, here, they shall bring the fat and the blood to minister to me. They shall enter my sanctuary. Verse 16, they shall come near my table. Did you know the Lord has a table? Do you have a table at home? Who doesn't have a dining table at home? What about in QC? All of you have a dining table? Why is it so important? What do you do in a dining table? Play mahjong? Playing cards? It's a dining table. It's for your survival. For your eating, for your nourishment, for your enjoyment. Eating is not just for health, eating is also for enjoyment. So they shall come near my table to minister to me. Do you like the outward activities? There are so many activities outside. Sam, what do you prefer? Just bringing the food to the table, offer it to the Lord? Or do you want a lot of activities outside? Well, you're cleaning, you can even exercise, right? Butcher, wow. But Christians today, they like to have activities. What is your ministry? They always like to ask. How do you serve? What is your ministry? What is your ministry? Hair cutting. What is your ministry? They like to ask. I'm a heavenly waiter. To bring the heavenly food, to offer it to God for his enjoyment. Do you realize what we are doing, bringing the best offering to God, is one of the most precious services that you can do to God? It is even the privilege. But unfortunately, a lot of people said, oh no, I have to bring something again. Oh, well. You don't realize this is a privilege, the best privilege. Only Zadok and his descendants could do it, the descendants of Zadok. Come near my table to minister to me, to serve me. That is the best service you can render to God. And they shall keep my charge. And it shall be whenever they enter the gates of the inner court, right? They shall put on linen garments. Praise the Lord. What does linen signify again? Remember Revelation chapter 19? The bride put on woolen garment.
No.
Linen.
Can you imagine if the bride wears a woolen garment at a wedding? She'll be sweating the whole time. Linen garment. That means the righteous acts of the saints. Right? Yep, they shall put on linen garments. No wool shall come upon them while they minister within the gates of the inner court within the house. Oh my goodness, time is up. Oh, really?
Yes, because we started.
We still have time?
Yes,
You still have time in Quezon City, yeah?
next to that thing.
Oh. Okay, yeah, thank you.
25.
25 minutes. Okay, praise the Lord. Let's do it in 25 minutes. Yeah. No woolen garments, linen garments. Right? It's very important. What does it mean not to sweat when you serve God? How can you do that? That means you don't serve according to your own strength. Just like Cain. Cain brought all those fruits from the land out of his sweat. And in that respect, sweat is connected to curse, the first time mentioned in the Bible. You serve God according to your own ways, according to your own strengths, according to your own abilities, according to your own concept. You're sweating. So, no woolen clothes, but linen garments. No wool shall come upon them while they minister within the gates. No sweat, they should not sweat. They shall have linen turbans on their head. Wow, linen turbans. How often do you pray to the Lord to renew your mind, to have a righteous mind, to be renewed in our mind? If you want to be transformed, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how are you going to put off the old man? What way? What is the best way to put off the old man? What is the most active part of the old man? What are you thinking every day? Everybody's quiet. It's the mind. So if you want to be a person who put on the new man, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, between 22 and 23, 22 says, put off the old man. 24 says, put on the new man. And what does 23 says? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That is the way to be renewed, to put off the old man. If you want to know how far you are with transformation, check your mind. You set your mind more on the spirit or more on the flesh. During the week, during the day, are you thinking more of the things of the earth or the things above? How often are you thinking of the kingdom? Now, especially when the kingdom is coming, you're still thinking about your job, your cars, your house, your business, your... So what's in your mind? You need a linen tap. The helmet of salvation. That means which part of your being needs more salvation than any other part. Ah, now you know the answer. It's the mind. That's why the priest should put on the linen cap. That's for the priest. Turbans. You know, the turban is also like a crown. So what are you crowned with? Have you ever seen a linen crown? Praise the Lord. The priesthood is very wonderful. Yeah. And linen trousers on their bodies. Linen trousers to cover every part of the flesh. You know, when Adam and Eve fell and ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of death, what is the first thing they notice? That they were naked. So we better, and all the sisters, we better take care of how we dress. In the people of the world today, the less the better, they think. That's the Hollywood outfit. The more they show the flesh, they think they're wonderful. This is the first thing they notice. Have you ever thought about that? But what about a priestly garment? It's the opposite. Linen trousers all the way. Right. And you can see everything is so righteous before God. So that the flesh will not be exposed. Linen trousers on their body. Right. So praise the Lord. Yeah. They shall not clothe themselves with anything that causes sweat. And when they go out to the outer court, to the people, what are they going to do? Wear the priestly garments with them? Now you tell me the good reason why not. The Catholic priests, they did it. Right? The monks. Even the Buddhist monks, wherever they go, they wear their garments, their special idol-worshipping garments. And they think they are separate from the other people. They are special people. Well, do they look special to you? Yeah, they look special. But these are holy garments, the garments that is specially worn in the sanctuary for God. What is for God, let it be, let it remain for God. And what is for the common people, let it be for the common people. There has to be a difference. You cannot mix both. What is holy and what is unholy? Because at the very end, the holy garment will be defiled. And the people will not be holy when touching that thing. No. So after we do that, you will lose the discernment between what is holy and what is unholy. That doesn't mean that, okay, I put on my holy garments there in the sanctuary place, and now I can mix with the people in the world and play mahjong and play cards and go to do this and do that. No, that's not what it means, okay? That is not what it means. Yeah. So remember, they should put on other garments. Other garments. Other garments does not mean that any garments. But if you are a holy and righteous person, you will know what other garments you can wear. There is no prescription of a specific garment inside the Holy of Holies and outside the sanctuary. No. Outside, you should know. Don't have to tell you what to wear. God didn't have to tell you. But if you are Tzaddok and you're righteous and you're holy, you will know what to wear outside of the sanctuary when you're among the people. Okay. Good. Oh, do we still have time? Yeah. Let's come to the point, and they shall neither shave their heads. Have you ever seen monks with long hair? Thailand, there are quite a few monks, all with long hair like you. They're all well shaven. So here, you shall not shave your head, because in the old days, even today, look at the monks, whether they're Hindus, whether they are Buddhists, and even some other religion, they shave their heads. Right. That was a practice when they worship idols. Let me tell you a little story. When I was young, very young, in elementary school, I asked the priest, the Catholic priest, a question. Because I was curious at that time. I said, how come all the priests shave their head here? Right? You notice all the priests shave their heads here? Oh, maybe if you're too short, you can't see that. But they all shave their head. So was curious at that time. I asked that priest, why do you all shave their head here? It's not because they are bald here. No. To be bald is something else. Okay. You know what answer I receive? It says, to have fellowship with God.
What? Really better for you.
This is your way.
Where do they get that crazy idea? So you want to have more fellowship with God? Shave your head. Isn't that strange? I never forgot that. That was many, many, many decades ago. Lord Jesus, but neither should you let your hair grow long. Right. Well, when you read this verse, at a first glance, you should see the principle is to be moderate. Don't go to extreme. People like to shave their heads. Very strange. Right. Why didn't God just create a human being without hair? How we wear our hair is important to God. If you read chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, the hairs are very important. Paul even said, did not the nature teach you that women, hair is for the covering? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he's talking about God's divine order. What is the God's divine order, Vince? You start with God. Paul didn't. No. Paul starts with a woman. Right. So the head of the woman is the man. What is the reason why they have the head covering? Because the head of the woman is the man. It doesn't mean that the women of women are inferior, no, but it's the divine order of God. Can you imagine if there's no order? Even among the animals, who's the king of the animals? The lion. How come you know it's a lion? It's not a sheep. Even among the animals, they know the lion king. And this is why even the Bible calls Jesus the lion of the tribe of Judah. Yeah. So we need to see the divine order. It is not who is inferior, who is more superior. No. It is the divine order. Because if there is no divine order in the universe and there is a disorder, goodness, there's going to be chaos all the time. That's why there's a world war. That's why the history of mankind is a history of wars, killing each other. So, but we, the male, don't think we have the authority. No, we are not the authority because we have somebody above us. Christ is the head of every man. So who is the head? Men? So who is the head of the woman? Men? Man, but Christ. That's a good answer. Now, who is the head of Christ? God. Even God has a head, which is, Christ has a head, which is God himself. That is why in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, at the very end, when Christ received the kingdom, he kept it for himself. No? What did he do with the kingdom? To himself. To God, the Father. But look at the Christians today. They kept the authority to themselves because they thought that we are the greatest. The Pope, he kept the throne to himself. You know the word Nicolaitan? The Lord loves the Nicolaitans. The Lord hates the Nicolaitans. Husband, rule over your wife.
Husbands, love your wife.
As Christ rule over us. Husband, rule over your wives. But to the wives, Paul wrote, wives, submit yourself to your husband as the church submits to Christ. Because this is a wonderful order. This is a wonderful order, the divine order. It is not a matter of appointment. It's not. And if we don't give attention to that order, we will repeat the problem in the Garden of Eden. You want to repeat that problem?
No.
You sure? Hmm? Okay, so now we learn, right? Praise the Lord. This is what sisters have the head covering. And Paul says, why? He says, for the angels to see. How come? Because the angels were the first ones who rebelled against God and wanted to be like God. And even higher than God. And so for the sisters to put on head covering is a privilege. To show that we, today's God's people in Zion, we submit to Christ. The church submits to Christ as the head over all things. God has appointed a pope to be head over all things. No.
No.
Never, never, ever, and will never be. He is not a pope. You have to spell it in a different way. Okay. Anyway, the Lord will have to open our eyes. No. The sisters have such a privilege to show the whole universe, especially the angelic beings, we, the Church of Christ, submit ourselves to Christ as our head. God appointed Christ to be head over all things to the church. How often did you think of that? Okay, sorry. Ah, Lord Jesus. So we need to see this, pay attention to this. Right? And Paul did say, long hair is a shame for men. And today you cannot tell. You cannot tell the difference. Is he a man or a woman? Especially when you look at the back. You can't tell. It's not good not to be able to tell. Okay, anyway, I don't want to talk about this too long. But the principle you have to understand. It's not a matter of just long hair, short hair. No. Right. And how long is long and how short is short? Don't argue about that. But it's the principle that we have to see. The divine principle, the divine order that is important. The spiritual reality. Now, they shall not take as wife a widow or a divorced woman, but take virgins of the descendants of the house of Israel or widows of priests. Right? Not just any widows, no. But if you want to marry a widow, it has to be a widow from the priests. And this is what Paul says very, very clearly. Right? In 1 and 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Don't be unequally yoked with unbeliever. Because if you do, don't try to think I'm going to save her. She's going to save you. To her ways. She's going to pull you down. You think you're going to pull her up? Dream on. Dream on. Pay attention to the word of God. And that also shows us the priestly family must be holy. Remember, you're not just Christians. You're also a priestly family. So marriage is very important. Don't just marry for the sake of marriage. You need to pray. And you need to go according to God's word, and the Lord will lead you. Okay. So anyway, as a priest in the priestly family, we all need to take care of our family.
Yeah.
As a testimony to everyone. Okay. So now in here in verse 23, they shall teach my people doctrines. What did he say?
The difference between the holy and the unholy.
This is the main thing. Did you know what is the most unholy thing? Is the wrong teaching. Your private interpretation. And that caused people to go astray and not obeying the word of God. So you have to be a holy person to have the fear of God. Of course, we all make mistakes. But the worst mistake is you make mistakes with the word of God. It's God's word. God's word is holy. You cannot just get into the word of God with your unholy mind, crooked mind. Don't think it is easy. Really. So they have to teach people the difference between what is holy and what is unholy, and to discern between what is clean and what is unclean. You want to know that? You have to go through the book of Leviticus. Today, tonight, we cannot do that anymore. Otherwise, you have to give me another 3 hours. Praise the Lord. Right. And then in controversy, praise the Lord, in Zion, because we are still human beings here, there are controversies among God's people. No problems. Right. So in controversy, they shall stand as judges and judge according to my judgments. This is important. That's why you have the Urim and Thummim. That's why you have the holy anointing indwelling. In everything as a priest, you have to learn to follow the anointing. And not just by your own concept of what is right and what is wrong. What to do and what not to do. Ask the Lord. All kinds of judgment in Zion should be according to his judgment. And they shall keep my laws. Because if you don't keep his laws, you cannot judge according to his judgments. And my statutes in all my appointed meetings. Wow. Praise the Lord. All the appointed feasts of the Lord. Right. and they shall hallow my Sabbath. Now, this is a very important point. What does it mean to keep the Sabbath? Are you belonging to the Seventh-day Adventist? So, Saturday afternoon at 6 o'clock, you quit everything and you shouldn't be doing anything, keeping the Sabbath. And they say it's in the commandment, thou shalt keep the Sabbath day holy. Now, what does it mean to keep the Sabbath, Timo? Help me.
To rest from my own works.
Yeah, that means you shouldn't do anything in Sabbath and just go to bed and just sleep and do nothing and prepare your food on Friday so that you don't have to cook on Saturday, right? Right? No. If you read Hebrews chapter 4, right, those who enter into the Sabbath rest has ceased from his own work. Why? Because God has already done everything. You think Adam can help God to create something? Oh God, you forgot the cockroaches. You love the cockroaches? Oh, some do. Some even ate them. How about that? You think Adam can help God in the creation of this wonderful earth? There must be a reason why God waited until the end of the sixth day to make man, okay? If you were to create man, when are you going to create Adam? Nobody dares to answer because we will also, we're right in the beginning because man is the most important thing. So why not? It'll be good if Adam is there and Eve especially. What do you think will happen if Adam and Eve were there? When God created light, let there be light. He would say, Lord, it's not bright enough. You'll always have something to say, to criticize. So man is created at the very end, after God finished everything. When God finished everything, there's nothing left for Adam and Eve to do except to obey God's word. To do what God says. To keep the Sabbath. Praise the Lord. This is why don't try to do God's work for God. Okay? Learn from Paul, not I, but Christ. They shall not defile themselves by coming near to a dead person. Ah. Course. Today in the new covenant, we are not talking just about somebody who died, but we are talking about spiritual death. You think all the churches are alive and wonderful, alive and well. What about Sardis? Sardis is dead. And in Romans chapter 8, especially, if you set your mind on the flesh, you die. You will die. Death. So death is a very serious thing, especially among the priests. The priests are not allowed to go near anything that is death, especially rebelliousness. Rebellion brings death. And mind you, remember this, death and sin are related. Anytime we come close to sinful things, death is just lingering there, waiting to come in. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. Through one man's disobedience. Ah, disobedience. What comes in? Sin. And with sin, what comes in? Death. These three things are correlated. Disobedience brought in sin. And sin opened the door for death to come in. And what rules and reign? Death reign in all mankind. Death is terrible. I have seen too much. Sorry to say this. What if you can preach so well? It doesn't mean that you give life. We heard about life, life, life for so long, right? Life this and life that, and spirit. At the end, there is neither life nor spirit. It's not a teaching. No wonder Paul says the letter, what?
Kills.
The letter kills. Amen. So, I think we better stop here. And the rest, you can take care of it. The holy anointing will teach you all things. All right. Praise the Lord. And one thing, God will be your inheritance. What is more precious than to inherit God? What does it mean if you inherit God, Charlie? What do you inherit? All things. The whole universe belongs to God. What is more precious than God himself? You might think, oh, poor Levites, poor priests, they don't inherit anything. No, you're wrong. God says they do not inherit anything in Canaan, in a good land, because I'm giving them something better. I am their inheritance. Okay? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah for all the descendants of Zadok.
Amen.
In QC, in Clarine, all of you, praise the Lord. And you can all read Leviticus yourself. Right. In the previous two meetings, I'm just giving you a summary of Leviticus. So now you know what is in the book of Leviticus. Okay? May the Lord grant us much grace and wisdom and heavenly understanding. Wisdom from above.
Amen.
I love you all. Praise the Lord.
Amen.